Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And like he has done for many, many years, like 26-plus here on A3OWCCO. Denny Long, along with ASC-certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How was your week? Or actually, a couple weeks. We enjoyed Nick's company last week. But,
yeah, I missed you last week. I'm sorry about that. But I've had a couple of good weeks. Thank you.
Well, that's good. But back to work, back to business now. And the back to cold weather looks like, according to that forecast. So I'm sure you and your crew at Lloyd's will be busy with those issues as usual. If you are new to the show, thanks for joining us. Dan, again, has helped us out here on CCO for many years, helped you out with any kind of a car care question you might have. And as we said earlier, if you need to bring in your vehicle for service to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, and you want to know what could be ailing before you get there, it's always a good idea to have a little more information rather than less. You can call Dan or text Dan, and keep in mind Dan's only going to be here till about 7:45. So don't wait. Any kind of a car care question, by all means call or text. One number to remember, that's 651-461-9226. We're already getting calls and questions as we speak. Let's grab this, and then we don't get too far behind. It's a 2020 Toyota Highlander. Will not defrost on cold mornings. Texter says we run the AC with the defroster, and still all the windows, including the windshield and side windows, fog up. Is there a sensor or something that isn't working? Thank you.
Well, I don't think there's probably a sensor that's not working. One of the things that happens, if the inside of your vehicle gets too much moisture in it, you know, if the carpets are all wet, if the rubber floor mats are all soaking wet, then it's really difficult for the defroster system to get the moisture out of the car, which is what needs to happen. And the other thing that could be going on is you might just have a little tiny hairpin coolant leak going on inside the heater box, and if you're adding moisture to the air conditioning system that way through the heater box, that would also cause the windows to steam up. And in fact, I wonder if that's maybe more likely what's going on. Usually when if the car sits out in the cold, all the moisture on the carpet and all that freezes solid, and so it takes a while for that moisture problem to present itself. 2020 would be a little bit new to be having a heater core problem, but I wonder if that's what's going on and what you might have to have checked. And it's a pretty big job if it does have to be done. You know, the whole dash and heater box has to come out of the car to replace that. So it's complicated, but I think if I were you, I would take that in and have that diagnosed.
Dan, do you and your crew at Lloyd's see heater core problems from time to time yet? These days?
Oh, yeah. That's, okay. I wouldn't say it's very common, but, yeah, we quite often, you know, I'm sure every week we're taking a dash apart that way to put a heater or, you know, to repair the heater box or replace the heater box or repair the heater core, something like that. I'm sure every week we're doing that.
So what exactly is that? I think I've read years ago it's kind of like another radiator almost?
It is. It's another small radiator on the inside of the car. The coolant hoses go to it through the firewall, and as the engine warms up, the engine flows hot coolant through the heater core, and then that the heater core itself gets hot, and then there's a fan that blows through the heater core and takes that warm air and blows it out into the car. So it's exactly like a, like, looks a little different, but it's exactly like a small radiator.
Interesting. If you have a car care question, you want to call it in, 651-461-9226, or send a text with that same number. Speaking of phones, Dan, Clark is calling in this morning from Minneapolis, I believe. Clark, you're on CCO with Dan Burns.
Hello. Yes, I have a question. Hello? I've got a question about my traction control on my, I've got a 2013 Chevy Impala. And for the last several months, actually, when I thought I brought it in once and they didn't think that anything was wrong, but my traction control, if I'm just simply not on any slick surfaces whatsoever, if I'm making a turn to the left, usually, occasionally to the right, but mostly to the left, it grinds a little bit, and then the traction control light will come on. And then one other time, some other little message came up on my dashboard that said something about stabilization, check stabilization or something like that. And I called about that, and they never heard of that. So I'm confused.
Well, the traction control is operated through the anti-lock brake system. And one of two things is happening on those left-hand turns. Either one of your tires is not turning properly at the correct speed, and it's sending tires is not turning properly at the correct speed, and it's sending a notice to the traction control system to activate, which is what's happening, or there's a sensor that's not reading correctly, and more likely it's a sensor that's not reading correctly. You know, in order for the traction control to work, it needs a very, very accurate count on how fast each of the four tires are turning, and they're very tight parameters as to, when it would actually activate the anti-lock brake system to keep you from losing control of the vehicle. It actually pulses the brakes for you, and that's what you're feeling, and that's what that buzzing noise is. And so I don't know why yours is overactive. If it's that one of the wheels has a braking problem, if one of the brakes is sticking on a little bit and you're on ice, then that would cause that wheel to not turn as fast as the rest, and would cause the anti-lock brake system to turn on. Or, like I said, more likely, the sensors aren't reading accurately. And I think that if you were to take another run at this with whoever it is that you're dealing with, or maybe try someone else, it's a pretty common problem. We run into it quite often, and sometimes it can be a little tricky to get it to act up if it's only doing it intermittently. But, oftentimes just with an inspection, we'll see where, the ring that the anti-lock brake system counts with will be cracked or something like that, and will cause symptoms like what you're experiencing. So I think you should take it back, let them try again. If they don't have any luck, then you probably will have to try someone else.
Try someone else. All right. Hang on, Dan. We're going to take a break. Just a reminder, Dan will be taking his leave in just, less than 30 minutes. So if you have any kind of a car care question, call it in or text it in before we run out of time. 651-461-9226. Back with more CCO Car Care Show in a moment. 8 degrees above zero, heading for 27 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you, Denny Long, back at it, along with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, in the middle of our car care show. If you have any kind of a question for your about your vehicle, You got to bring it in for service. Want to know maybe what's wrong with it? Call or text Dan at 651-461-9226. Speaking of texts, which we'll get to in a moment, Dan, for those that maybe are new to the show, where the heck is Lloyd's Automotive located?
Well, thank you for asking, Denny. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call as soon as this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that number before Dan leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Here's a text that it says, how many miles should you go before transmission flush on a 2019 Honda?
You know, I don't have that information right in front of me on specific vehicles. Honda actually is one of the companies that still does recommend changing transmission fluid. And if you look in your owner's manual, you'll find a maintenance schedule that's inside there. But I would not be surprised if it's about every 30,000 miles or something like that. And it's a very simple transmission change on that vehicle, because it's like changing the oil on the car. You simply drain it out of you drain a portion of it out of the transmission and then put that exact amount back in, and that's a transmission change on that car. But if you just check your owner's manual, you'll find out when exactly you should do that on any car. And on a lot of cars, don't be surprised if you find out that they don't even recommend changing transmission fluids. They're using a lifetime synthetic fluid in them, and they just think that it causes more trouble than leaving it alone, and that's what they recommend.
Is that more often the case with these newer cars?
It's getting to be that way. That's true. Yep.
Here's a question, Dan. It says, are Blizzak or another snow tire worth the money for a Honda Accord? Can you really tell the difference?
You can absolutely really tell the difference, that's for sure. As far as whether it's worth it or not, you'd have to be the judge of that. lots of people do switch their tires between summer tires and winter tires, and I personally do not, because I don't want to storm and deal with all that, and I don't have anywhere to go. It's a 3-mile drive to work, so I don't have a need for them. But people who do need them, and people who have long commutes and are out on the highways and stuff, they will say that they love them, and they're almost afraid not to drive with snow tires. So if your application is correct, then I think that if you were to get snow tires like Blizzak's, that's a great option. You'll find that they're terrific.
All right. Dave from Lionel Lake sends in a text. Thanks, Dave, for your comments. It's a great show. Somebody must have had a dad here in the business. Dave, for one, said, reminds me of my dad's repair station. Go ahead.
My barber, who I get my hair cut with quite often, her dad was an auto mechanic her whole life growing up. And so... You know, with our job, when you've been in the shop all day, it creates a smell that she recognizes and she appreciates. And that's the same story.
What a great story. Dave says, the question is, what's the difference between nitrogen air and regular air, meaning the tires, I presume? Can they be mixed?
They certainly can. They are mixed anyway in the environment. The nitrogen air that they put in tires, really what it amounts to is the oxygen is removed and the nitrogen is what's left behind. So, but they're mixed together in the environment. They can be mixed, although know that if you've paid to have nitrogen installed in your tires and you now put regular atmospheric air in the tires, you have contaminated the nitrogen and you now have oxygen back in there. And so they will will be affected by temperature more and moisture and those sorts of things compared to nitrogen only.
Okay. There's a tire question, Dan. It sounds simplistic, but I think when you think about it, as a civilian, we'll call it, not as a certified technician, are 17-inch tires much larger than 16? Well, it seems like it'd be an inch difference, yeah. But I mean, it's
they are, but you know, the whole math formula around tires, you know, like you'll see that a tire size, for example, will be P215 75 R17, for example. Mm-hmm. The 17 part means that it's the tire is actually mounted on a 17-inch rim. The inside diameter of the tire is 17 inches. The beginning number, the whatever that is, 235 or something like that, is actually the width of the tire. And the 70 or 75 or whatever that number happens to be, the middle number, is the profile height. And what that is a percentage of the tire width. So if the width is 235 and the profile is 70, then the tire is 70% as high as it is wide. And that's why these, you know, when you get into some fancy tires and cars and wheels and those sorts of things, when you get down to the, you know, the 50s or the 45 profile percentage, the tire is not very tall anymore, and in our Minnesota weather where we get potholes and stuff, they can have a hard time with that. So, you know, the taller tires, the higher profile tires are safer when it comes to potholes and things like that, because there's more room for the tire to flex before it gets into the metal and bends it.
Yeah. Good question. Interesting. All right, I tell you what, I'm getting a signal, Dan. We need to break, and we're going to have, 10, 12 more minutes of the show, so don't wait. We have more text messages to pass along as well. The weather's coming up here, so stay with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good Saturday morning to you. We're in the midst of our car care show. We are here, by the way, every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, right after the 7 o'clock news break. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Question for you, Dan, from a listener says, does Lloyd's do alignment on a two-wheel drive Ranger?
Yes, we sure do, and so does every other shop that does alignments in town. A two-wheel drive Ranger is a simple vehicle to align, and that's a very, very common and simple job.
Okay. How big of a job is this, a listener's question? Is it to replace a heater fan motor in a Nissan, a 1999 Pathfinder? Do you have to take out the dash, or it is under the hood? Well, I don't know if you got a...
I would not have that without looking that up.
Right.
If you were to call my shop or any shop, they could quickly look that up for you and give you an estimate on it. And based on the amount of time that they're charging you for, you could have a pretty good idea about how big a job it is to do that job. But my guess is that it does come out from under the dash. Not very often do they come out under the hood anymore, but you'd have to look it up to see for sure.
Okay. Here's a 2014 Toyota RAV4 all-wheel drive. It says, when I apply the brake, I hear a clicking noise, not a brake grinding noise. The brakes and rotors have been replaced about 6 months ago. Any ideas?
Well, I don't have an idea without looking at it, but anytime you're getting noise from the brakes, you should have that checked. And, I think a test drive with a professional would give you a lot of information about what that noise is. First of all, whether it's safe or not, whether it needs to have attention immediately. But I think you should at least go that far with it and have a professional give you their opinion based on what they hear. But clicking... a rhythmic clicking, I assume they're talking about a rhythmic clicking from the brakes aren't all that common. Maybe something's going on, like where one of the brake rotors that they put on has, some sort of scar on it. that you're hearing, but without hearing the noise, I would have no idea.
Very good. Here's one. It says, I have a 2009 Chevy Silverado 3/4 ton 4x4. I do not use it very often, and I just put a new battery in it 3 weeks ago. Now, all of a sudden, the remote start does not work, and the 4x4 will not kick in. In fact, it has not worked since I put a new battery in. What do you think?
Well, could be. I think perhaps both of those parts on the vehicle are disabled if the check engine light is on. And so that's one thing that I would check is the check engine light is on, or at least have it checked and see if there's some codes stored in there. I think when the check engine light's on, just for safety purposes, it disables some of that stuff. And so I would start there and find out what the codes are, and I'm pretty sure you'll find that there are some, and see what needs to be done to clear out those codes, and then simply clear the codes out and see if all that stuff comes back to life. And I have an idea that it will. It's not uncommon if you had battery trouble that there would be battery voltage codes stored in several of the different computers, and if that's the case, that might be why those systems are disabled.
Follow up on this same question from this listener. It says, is there a fuse for the 4x4?
Well, there probably is, but I would not say that's a common problem with it. I think more likely there's a code stored in there that's causing the vehicle to disable it for safety purposes.
Here's one that goes back to our conversation about transmission fluid. This listener says, how can I check my transmission fluid on my 2003 Chev Malibu? I can't find the dipstick.
That's really common nowadays also, Denny. And in fact, to check the transmission fluid on many vehicles, you actually need a scan tool so that you can measure the exact temperature of the transmission fluid, and there's a procedure that you go through, and oftentimes there is no dipstick. You fill the transmission to the point, at whatever point it is, when it's exactly at the right temperature, and wait for the fluid to, after you filled it, let the fluid run back out to a point, and then you're done. And so it's very common that you would not have a transmission dipstick anymore.
We've got great listeners always come up with some great solutions sometimes, and I'm not sure if that earlier question, that listener, remember with the fogged up windows, but we've had two texts since then saying on the moisture in the car, I had a friend who did the same complaining. He always had the recirculation air on, turn on the fresh air, life was good.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah.
If you do have moisture in the car, that's one of the things that will help solve that problem is to bring, that right now the air outside is very dry. And so if you bring that dry air in, that might take care of your problem.
If I get this, listener says this, if I get an aluminum radiator for my classic car, should I put a small amount of sealer on the hose connections? I've read that sometimes these radiators don't seal as well, but I don't want to mess it up doing that.
Yeah, I probably would not do that. You're still installing a rubber radiator hose, and if the radiator hose is having trouble sealing, usually it's because the radiator hose itself has gotten too old and has gotten too hard. So I think that if you put a soft new radiator hose in, I think that'll work a lot better than making a big mess by trying to put sealer on the hoses themselves.
I think we have time maybe for one more, maybe two. Let's see here. 2014 Chrysler Town & Country, E85 capable, never used E85. Any pluses and minuses of starting to use E85?
No, I think the vehicle's designed for it, and it actually does that calculation to determine the percentage of alcohol that's in the fuel tank, so it can be mixed and matched and all that sort of stuff. I think one thing that you'll find is that the price is significantly less for the fuel, but the mileage is also not as good. With the high alcohol content, there's not as much energy in the fuel as with a petroleum product, and so your mileage won't be as good, but the price is quite a bit cheaper, so it's probably worth it.
That's the trade-off. Okay, let's do one more, Dan, before we let you go. Battery dead. This is a 2012 Range Rover. Battery's dead. Jumped it, took it in. They said alternator was pushing too much energy to the battery. Need a new alternator. This makes sense. Too much energy to the battery.
It could be if every alternator needs a voltage regulator, which controls the amount of voltage that's going to the battery, and if that gets to be too high, if the voltage regulator is stuck and the alternator's charging high all the time, it actually will ruin the battery. So yes, that does make sense, and if that's what they say, you probably can trust that diagnosis.
Finally, a question, not a car care question, but are you still hearing about catalytic converter thefts?
Not as much. We have not done as many, which is good news. Maybe they've all been taken already. I don't know. But I did hear that there was some legislation, at least in the city of St. Paul, where the penalty for possessing catalytic converters is now a larger penalty. I think it's a misdemeanor. And so at least now the police have some ammunition to use against the thieves, that if they've got a trunk load of catalytic converters, that's illegal. You can't do that anymore.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right. Well, thank you for that, listener. And, Dan, we're out of time. Let's get the number for those that want to visit you guys at the Lloyd's Automotive or need some help. How do we do that?
Yeah, well, you can come on over. That's the best thing to do. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call as soon as today, 651-228-1316.
I'll be doing that very thing because I'm taking your advice and getting the second of my two visit oil changes for my car, so you'll be hearing from me this week.
Oh, good. I'll look forward to that.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Dan Burns, Lloyd's Automotive, on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Stay tuned next for our wine chat with Jack Farrell, and then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Julie Weisenhorn in the 8 o'clock hour. Our Smart Garden Show will get underway at 8. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.